if you want to go ahead and start turning to that passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, that's where the message is going to be at today. There's a parallel passage to it in 2 Samuel 24, but we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 21 most of the day. Now this week, I don't know if you were like me, but when they started closing stuff down and telling, and information started coming out that churches were going to shut down to try to hold back this virus. You know, Brother Comer and I, we've had some pretty good conversations this week. And I think almost every day this week we've talked about different things and what it means. And I don't know about you, but it's blowing my mind a little bit. I don't understand it. Nobody that is alive today has ever seen anything about what we're going through. In fact, it almost really makes sense. Only makes sense if this is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, the pale horse at the end. I just don't know what to do with this. So I'm praying to God. I'm like, God, what is going on? And, you know, you put me in a position where there feels like there's a lot of peer pressure to go with the flow of shutting down, which something just seems dreadfully wrong in a lot of respects about that. But at the same time, I have concern for the health of the people who attend, because they're saying that's the way that you got to protect them is to let them stay home. And you know, may I be honest just for a second? If we close the doors at Bethany Baptist Church because we're afraid of getting sick, don't eat that day. You only pray and fast. That's my recommendation, because if it's so bad that you can't come to church to serve God the way that He wants to be served, then you need to serve Him at your house the way He tells you to serve Him at your house. And you refrain. No TV. You fast and you pray the whole day. When you get tired, when your knees hurt from being on them, then you walk around and you pray while you're walking around. That's what it means when churches start closing their doors because it's so bad. Are y'all tracking with me? Now, I'm not going to judge those other churches for you know, at least right now. But I'm just telling you that if this really is what they are saying it is, this is going to change a lot of stuff about the way that we do business. And I started asking God, what? And, you know, these are going through my mind. You know, I remember when 9/11 happened. I remembered what we were doing. I was at Barksdale Air Force Base, and 9/11 hit, and we were having an exercise. When we did an exercise at Barksdale Air Force Base, that meant that we rolled out every single nuclear weapon that we had, and we loaded it on a plane. Just like we were preparing for a nuclear holocaust, we were preparing for war. Something was going to change when we practiced like that. 9/11 hit. The President Bush lands at Barksdale Air Force Base, and he looks around, and he sees all of these weapons of mass destruction out there vulnerable to a terror attack, just like the Trade Centers did. That day changed the world for the American people. Definitely for the military. It took us 10 years to figure out how we were going to be able to exercise like we were going to go to war. Do you realize that's what's going on today? We are entering into a new era, a spiritual conflict. How are we going to wage war against the enemy? And I'm like, God, I don't understand this. How do I stand before your people Sunday and tell them this is how we need to go forward? This is what's going on. Because I don't have a clue. And as I'm praying, God reveals a story to me that this isn't the first time that this has ever happened. you know, the Bible has the answers if you're willing to go there. And this morning I'm going to go there. Some of you, it's going to hurt your feelings because it hurt my feelings. And I got it yesterday morning. I already had the bulletin done. It's got a different message in it. But God gave me something different that lines up with what we are seeing and facing today. And I had this question that came to my mind. You know, what does the anger of the Lord look like? That was the question in my mind. I'm like, Lord, is this it? Is this really what it starts to look like when you become angry? That people willingly give away their freedoms? That churches willingly shut their doors? That there's a run on toilet paper? You know, is this what it looks like? I'm like, this is insane. It doesn't make any sense. No matter how you turn this, it doesn't make sense unless it has to do with what I'm going to tell you about in just a second. So would y'all pray with me real quick? And we're gonna dig into this story and try to bring out the applications and see if God can answer these questions for us this morning. Dear Lord, you know how I've struggled with this stuff this week. You know how I don't understand. You know that there's a lot of people that there is a lot of confusion. They just don't know what to do. And rather than not know what to do, they just kind of turn their back on it, and they're like, "Well, we'll just do nothing." The president called for a national day of prayer. Some churches have closed their doors, but no one has really said what's going on. That why would you allow this type of thing to happen to the whole world at the same time that lives are being lost? That people are getting sick, and we just don't, Lord, we just don't understand. We just don't know what to do. Lord, would you give me grace this morning? Would you give me the right words to speak? Would you give me the understanding, a gift that only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit? Lord, we need that this morning. Would you touch us all and give us your insight and your wisdom? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, in verse 1, very interesting verse. In 2 Samuel it says a little bit different, but it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." And you may think, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with taking a census of the land? What's wrong finding out, what tools I really have in the bucket? Well, God had said, don't do it. Because he didn't want pride to build up in David. And even some of his counselors said, David, don't do it. Don't go there. Get me a drink, Micah. But he's there, and he says, no, you guys are going to go do this. I want you to go do this. And his word prevailed. So the Joab and his captains, they go out through all the land of Israel and they number the people and they end up coming back with a number. But something happens. Because he did this, God says, I'm angry with Israel. See, it wasn't just about David doing it. It was the whole nation of Israel. That they had gotten prideful. They had gotten arrogant in their minds. They had begun to rebel against God, who was their Savior. It didn't start with David. It started with Saul. Do you remember the story when Saul comes on the scene? Israel says, give us a king so that we can be like the rest of the nations. And God says, I'm your king. And they said, no, we don't want you as our king, God. We want a man who will mess up And Samuel comes out and he says he's going to do this, this, and he just lists a whole bunch of things that the king was going to do to the people. They said, we don't care. We want to be like the rest of the world. And God gives them a king. King Saul. David comes on the scene, a man after God's own heart that began to listen to Satan. That's what Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1 says, doesn't it? Satan stood against him. He's right there whispering the little sweet nothings in David's ear and causes David to sin. You're like, that's not a bad sin. Listen, you're going to find out that sin cost the lives of 70,000 men. The scripture tells us that as he was, when he realized what was happening, David's seer comes to him and says, David, you've really messed up. And God's going to judge this nation. And you get to choose, David, which judgment that God is going to send on this nation. Are you going to have 3 months of war going on? And you're going to be driven from Jerusalem? You're going to have to run for your life? 7 years famine, David? Or you could have 3 days pestilence. And David, he's like, I'm in a strait. None of those sound good. There's a reason. None of those are good. But they had already fallen. They had turned away from God's grace and His mercy. And they had sought a God in their own image. And God said, I will not be a God in your image. I am holy. I am righteous. You know, Brother Sean, he was preaching to me yesterday. He was talking about it. He's like, we so much want a God of love. I'm going to preach it. Can I preach your message for you for a second? Man, it was good. He's sitting there. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the picture of God. And there's a cry that comes out. What's that cry that you hear the angels sing? Holy, holy, holy. Not love, love, love. Not mercy, mercy, mercy. You want to know why? Because He is the thrice holy God. And He demands holiness. And when people turn from holiness, they get offered something. Judgment. When they say, oh, it's better to listen to Satan than it is to listen to God, don't expect it to ever end well. And we've got a nation that has jumped full in on Satan. You want to know where? How about the abortion clinics? The churches are closed. The abortion clinics are open. How about that today? They're not afraid of the virus, but man, don't come to church. How about the sex slave that's going on in our country that's actually being promoted by our leaders? They won't admit it, but they're influencing it. The drug trafficking. Oh, they're all in it. They'll push it. Man, we are in over our head in sin in this nation. They'll come, the leaders will come out and say, God bless America. They might even say, this is a day of prayer, but they won't get to the point where Solomon said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Before he gets to the heal their land, they must turn from their wicked ways. They must humble themselves before a mighty, righteous, and a holy God and admit their faults and repent. We're not going to see that happen, I don't think. I would love to see a president come out and on national TV bow his knee before Almighty God and say, these are the sins that I have done in the face of the Almighty, and I repent of them. And if our nation is going to get back on track, you must do the same, starting with every governor in the land, every mayor of every city, every council member. How about every pastor and every deacon? What would that do? That would turn us to a state of humbleness. And you would see a revival break out like you've never witnessed. But see, not even David, a man after God's own heart, understood that. And the angel of the Lord comes through Israel. And in 3 days, the angel, and y'all remember who the angel of the Lord is? It's God, it's Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, Jesus Christ. The scripture says, He is a man of war. And when you rebel against the man of war, expect a fight. He has told us several places that He will fight against you. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And He has no problems with sin and judgment upon you. The message today is, you don't have to be under judgment. You could be under grace. But if you're going to live in a state of rebellion, you will see judgment. You will stand before an almighty God, and He will judge you, and He will judge your land. As we've been studying in Zechariah on Sunday nights, we see that there's a day coming that God will judge the world at once, because the whole world is living in a state of rebellion against a holy and a righteous God. And the angel of the Lord comes through, and David is with his men, and they get to this threshing floor of, Ornan, I think is his name. And he sees the angel of the Lord there. And Gad comes to David and he says, David, you've got to build an altar. And God and David sees the angel of the Lord and he says, Lord, you've got to stop. What have these people done? I was the one who sinned. It was my fault. He recognized the presence of God. He realized this is the hand of God taking vengeance on my wickedness because I was in rebellion. And the angel of the Lord stays, but his sword is still drawn. He's ready to march forward. David, what are you going to do? David goes over to the threshing floor's owner. I forget what his name is. Ornan, I think, is his name. But anyway, he comes over to him, and he says, I want to buy this place right here. I want to buy the whole threshing floor. And he's like, David, you don't have to buy anything from me. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the oxen. I'll give you the wood that you need to burn the offering on. And he's like, no, I'm going to pay full price. And he pays the full price for it. He's like, I'm not going to give to God something that someone else is, not when I believe this is my fault. You see, that's what we need. That's what we need to happen in our country. We need everyone that's in any kind of a leadership position to think, this is my fault. I deserve this, not them. That would change some stuff. And David realizes, this is my fault. I want to do it. I want to, whatever God wants, I'm going to give it to Him. And he sacrifices right there. And it says, the angel of the Lord puts his sword in his sheath, and he is satisfied. You know what to make the anger, you know what the anger of the Lord looks like? Why it will come to a people, to a civilization, to a country, when they're willing to listen to Satan rather than Him. That's what we see here. The New Testament will say something like this. In Romans 1 and 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of me who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, it's not, when they when they lean on unrighteousness, and then when they look at the truth of God, I tell you, there's not many places that will accept the message that I'm giving to you today. They're like, no, God's not like that anymore. He would never do that to people. Oh, really? Why don't you go to Italy right now? What's going on there? How about Iran? How about China? What's happening? They will tell you it feels like we're under the wrath of Almighty God. God is judging us. How are we supposed to deal with it? Send everybody home and make them stay there? No, they need the Word of God more than ever. But you know what they do? They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Go ask the Chinese government how they feel about the Scriptures. You'll probably never be seen again. They'll mark you down as an organ donor. Go to Iran and say it. Oh, you'll be lucky to leave with your head in a bag. Italy. What have they done there? Oh, all kinds of evil has happened in Italy. They're not serving God there. They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. In 1 Thessalonians 2:16, they even forbid the apostles to witness. Don't be a witness. Stay home. Don't go out. Don't do those things. Those things will invite the anger of the Lord on a civilization. God will send a very clear message. How do we know when this is happening? He will send a clear message. To David, he said, it's going to look like this. It's going to look like famine. Have we seen famine in our land? We have. Go out to California. They've either been flooding or they've been burning. Australia is on fire. Last year, about this time, all the land in the Midwest was flooded. They said it compared to 1929. You know what happened right after 1929? The Great Depression. What else would it look like? It would look like the enemy coming on our soil and attacking us. Has that happened? How about 9/11? How about all the terror attacks inside of our schools? They come inside the places where they are the most vulnerable and have attacked us there. And then, that wasn't good enough, they've gone into churches and they have attacked churches now. What's going on? God was sent a clear message. And now all of a sudden, we've got this virus that's taken over the whole world. The leaders don't even know what to do with this. They're all afraid. Even our president has been tested because he's like, I don't want it either. And they've launched the nation into fear. What does it look like? It looks like that. Look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says those about those who will reject Him. Verse 20, it says, then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Listen, if we continue to go down this road of not repenting, this is what we're going to see. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sidon and Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. The United States has been blessed far above all measures than any of those cities have ever done. Yet we have elevated sin way above God. And He keeps reaching out to us, calling unto us, America, come back. You call upon me to bless you, but you refuse to bless me. America, churches, what I don't understand is the churches. They know. They read from this book every day. I know I can't be the only one who sees what's going on. The call goes to repent. The angel of the Lord comes down there and he sees it and he says, what's the first thing that we see happen? How do we make it stop? You do what David did. Look in 1 Chronicles 21 and 16. He says, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. We must recognize God's hand in what's going on. We're never going to make it if we don't recognize God's hand. He's given us so many signs, so many clues. Let me ask you, when was the last time you recognized God's hand and said, He is holy, He is just, He is righteousness. All of these judgments I deserve. And you fall down on your face crying before Almighty God and say, it's my fault, God. It's my fault. I'm the reason. They don't deserve it. It's me. I haven't been the witness that I need to be. I've been afraid. It's my fault. I doubt there's many callous knees in our churches today. I just wonder how full Chili's is going to be. I wonder how full the Cracker Barrel is going to be. I wonder how full Walmart's going to be. Look at 17 there. He says, and David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I that have sinned and done evil indeed? But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray, O Lord, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. We've got to admit sin. We don't like to talk about that. Oh, I haven't done anything wrong. I try to be a good person. I don't care how good you've been. Your goodness is as a filthy rag to God. You need His righteousness applied to your life. Sin must be acknowledged and to repent of it. God, I did it. It's my fault. I did it. Look in verse 24. It says, and King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. You see, he was willing to pay whatever it took to remove the sin from his life. You know what bothers me? Is when these associations have their conferences and there's a spike in pornography website visits in that area from that motel where those guys are at. Do y'all see a problem with that? That's what's going on. If that's what's going on with those guys, what's going on in their congregations? They need to be willing to pay the price. Whatever it took, whatever is driving them to that, they need to get it out of their life, willing to depart from it. If it's the TV, if it's the computer, if it's the people that they're around, whatever, they must be willing to pay the price. If they need counseling, pay for it. That's just one area. There's so much more. So much more. The people. You guys, y'all got to be, if you're going to get sin out of your life, you've got to be willing to pay the price. You can't say, well, it's all about the leaders. Listen, in the United States of America, you guys are the leaders. We, the people of the United States. Is that what our Declaration of Independence says? We vote for leaders. What are we voting for? Well, we've seen what we've been voting for. We need to stand up for God's principles and hold our leaders accountable. Because you know who those leaders are? They're us. We're voting for people just like us. That's what we see. You don't think it's true? It's true. It's true. Be willing to pay that price. Look in verse 26. It says, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering." You know what David did? He set up a permanent altar in his life. You keep reading the scripture, he would go back to this altar over and over again. Because he saw something here this day. He saw a holy God standing before him, willing to cast judgment upon him and upon the people that he was around. And he looked up and he saw God, who he really was, I think, for the first time in his life. He had been protecting him. He'd been blessing him. But he had made God his enemy because he had listened to Satan. And he was loving it. Romans chapter 1 talks about that. That they get to that point in their life where they see, where the God's people see the sin, they know what the sin is, but they have pleasure in their sin also. Maybe they don't think that they're doing it themselves. Listen, if you're having pleasure in sin, you are sinning. The sports teams, they're gonna play on Sundays, right? If you're willing to stay away from what God has told you to do because of the game, you are participating in that sin. You are guilty. You know, maybe it's time we start calling some sins out. Maybe we've been tiptoeing around these things too long. Listen, we've got some stuff coming to our country that if we're not willing to pay the price of repentance, God will make us pay the price for our life and eternal judgment. And it's not worth it. What did Jesus say? Is it better to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? He says it's not worth it. To gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it's not worth it. Set up a permanent altar in your life when you and constantly be thinking, God, have I sinned? What am I doing wrong? I don't understand. Get down on your knees, fall on your face before Him and say, God, this is what's going on. And be honest. Like David did. Hey, we've got something coming to our land we don't understand. Our government doesn't know how to deal with it. We don't know if the health profession is going to be able to handle it. What's going to happen? You know, it could be stopped. The sword is drawn, but it could be stopped. If my people, which are called by my name, the Lord says, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their land. If you don't have that scripture marked in your Bible, if you don't have it memorized, or mostly memorized, you need to. That's 2 Chronicles 12:14. Look what that does to David. In verse 30, he says, "But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord." His mind changed about sin in his life. That's where we've got to be. We've got to have our minds changed about it. We've got to see God in a whole new way. It says that he lived in the fear of the Lord. Because he realized God is not just the man upstairs. He's not this just loving creature that will accept anything and everything about me. No, he saw him as somebody who was holy and righteous and willing to pronounce judgment on a nation because of sin. What if David had said, "No, I'm not going to pay the price. I don't care about the people. I'm not going to make the sacrifice." How many people would have lost their lives if David hadn't stood, hadn't realized, "It's my fault"? If he'd been unwilling to stand in the gap. Listen, this morning, I don't know what's going on in the rest of the churches. I don't know what they're talking about. But I do know when I was praying this week about what's going on, this story came to my mind. I hadn't been reading it. I've been reading Hebrews and Zechariah. And I like talking about that kind of stuff. But God says, "Mitch, this is what's going on in the land. The American people are living in sin. They do not honor me the way that I have commanded them to honor me. And I am not against letting the people of America experience this just like the rest of the world is if they will not turn back to me. If they're unwilling to repent." Do we deserve the wrath of God if we're unwilling to repent? It's all in the Scriptures. And who is he looking for? He's looking for his people. He's not looking over there and the guy at the club. He's not worried about him. He's worried about that guy who says, "I'm a Christian. I have the name of Christ written on me." David, a man after God's own heart. If he could go there, you and I could go there. But these things were written for our example so that we can know what's the cure. He tells us what's the cure. The first thing we've got to do is just like David did, recognize God's hand at work. We've got to recognize it, just like David did. And not just recognize God's work, we've got to admit our sin. We've got to see our part in all this. Where have I failed? Where have I messed up? Listen, sin is easy. Satan makes it easy. What should we do? Repent. Fall on our faces before God. Be willing to pay the price. "Lord, whatever it takes to get this sin out of my life, I'm willing to do it." Are you really? Are you really? Do you have a permanent altar set up in your life? Is there a place where you go and pray? And I mean, you really pray. I'm not talking about a 5-minute, "God bless me, bless my family, bless my kids." I'm talking about you kneel down before Almighty God and you have a conversation. You get real with Him. That's what David did. a permanent altar. And you don't get up from there saying, oh, it's okay, I can do whatever I want now. No, you live in the fear of the Lord, where you realize He is holy, He is righteous, and He is just, and He wants me to be like Him. He wants to conform me into His image. I'm not doing the world a bit of good if I am not presenting Jesus Christ in every aspect of my life. Hey, that's where we're at today. You know, you could take this message and do whatever, I guess, with it. But this is what God told me about what's going on. I don't know how it's going to end, but I know how it can end. And it will end with revival in the United States if God's people would take these five things and apply them to their life. Hey, it's not about making America great anymore. It's about making Jesus Christ great in your life. That's where we're at in this nation. That's where we need to be. Hey, I hope that you're on board. I hope that you're with Jesus on this. Because our friends and our neighbor, if you really want to love your neighbor as yourself, this is what you'll do. This is how you'll live. This is how you will present your life, a living sacrifice, as the Scripture says. Letting your body really be the temple of Almighty God. It's not about the works. It's about the grace that God lives through you in every orifice of your body. Everything that's going on. Your hands, your feet, where God is used by you in everything. As the song leader and the pianist come, I tell you what, y'all just stay right there. I just want us to be in silence this morning. I want you to think about this. I want you to pray. Pray to God right there. We don't need music to help us. What we need is we need to think on God. God, would you show me what's really going on? Will you make me yours? Pray with me, dear Lord. Help me to see your hand in everything that's going on. Lord, there's so many people who are afraid. There's so many people who don't know. I don't know how this is going to affect us here soon, but I do know that people have been giving up their freedoms. Lord, can we see your hand at work? Help my eyes to be open so that I can see what it is that you're doing. Lord, would you show me myself? Is there sin in my life? Would you remove that sin from me? Your Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling upon your name this morning, Lord, because it's not just me who needs to be saved. This country needs salvation. We have turned against you. We have performed wickedly. Lord, there looks like there's no hope. But we know, Lord, that through you there is hope. And we call upon you, Lord. Would you reach down and touch your people? Help them, Lord, to see what's going on. Help them to see their sin and turn from that wickedness. That they would call upon you and allow you to purge the evil out of their life. That they'll quit listening to Satan. That they'll quit living in sin. But they'll serve you with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and strength. Lord, we need that. Lord, help us to be willing to pay the price, whatever it cost. You paid the highest price so that my sins could be forgiven, so that my soul could be saved. And here I am, I'm selfish, and I like all my stuff, and it draws me away from you and towards sin and shame. Lord, help me to pay the price, to be willing to pay the price, to cast sin and shame out of my life, and to accept you truly as my King and as my Lord in my life, that everything that I do will be about you and not about me. Lord, the nation needs me to be like this. Lord, your church needs me to be like this. My family needs me to be like that. Help me, Lord. Help me to build a permanent altar in my life. because I know, Lord, what I've been doing is not enough. I need more. I need more of you. I need to make sure that I am giving to you what you desire. Would you help me, Lord, to create a permanent altar in my life, somewhere where I go every day, where that I know I have met you there. Lord, help me to do those things. Help me to live in the fear of the Lord. Help me to recognize your holiness and your righteousness and to want to apply those things to you. In fact, I'll let you mold me in that image, that you will purge the evil out of me and that you will make me truly your child, your person. Lord, I pray that we'll see an awakening after this, that we'll see a revival happen as your people realize that you're not satisfied with how we've been conducting our lives. Draw us, Lord, to that point. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm not going to have an altar call right now. But if you need to talk, I'll be right up here waiting for you. And we could talk then. Brother Dale, if you would like to go to the back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you'd like to donate to the Gideons, he'll be in the back waiting. I pray that all hearts and minds are clear. Man, we've got to get down on our knees. There's stuff coming. We saw it all through the Old Testament. We see in the book of Revelation, it's coming. We're seeing what Jesus called the birth pangs. Hey, don't leave here today thinking it's okay. It's not okay. We may not know how to deal with it, but God does. And He's given us a prescription. Hey, take the prescription. Take it. If everybody will stand with me. Brother Sean, would you dismiss us?